This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
You're everywhere and nowhere, baby. That's where you're at. Going down a bumpy hillside in your hippie hat. Flying across the country and getting fat. Saying everything is groovy when your tires are flat.
Okay then, it's time to take a break, I suppose, is it? All football suspended until April the 3rd, meaning games with Nottingham Forest, Bristol City and West Brom have all been called off. That leaves Sheffield Wednesday and everyone else, for that matter, in limbo. Perhaps it's not a worse thing. It was a home game this weekend, of course. Lost 6 out of the last 8 fixtures at Hillsborough, firing blanks on those occasions 5 times. It was quite a humbling defeat to Brentford last weekend. But hey, we move onwards and upwards. Or do we? Who knows what to think of this coronavirus outbreak? We're going to be getting into that and plenty more on this, the Sheffield Wednesday Fan Show here on Love Sport, the station giving fans a voice. We've got your team covered with Churchill Business Insurance. It's me, Matt Beadle, joined as ever by Ben Woodcock of the Wednesday Week. Hello, Ben.
Yeah, you all right?
Yeah, good, thank you. Great having you on the show. Rich Miller is with us too from A Different Gravy, not just another Sheffield Wednesday podcast. Hello, Rich.
Hi, how you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm good, gents. It's a funny old evening tonight. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm in the studio on my Todd. Don't really know what to think. Don't really know what to talk about other than to get fans' opinions, their views, their reaction to the past 24 hours. To be fair, not even that, to be honest. The news that broke today, that all football is suspended until April the 3rd. Like I said, we'll get into that. We will have to very quickly touch. It was almost an excuse, wasn't it, for us to just not have to talk about Brentford, but we will quickly discuss it. Ben, I'll come to you first. We'll get into Brentford a bit later, but first, your reaction to the news today that all football, of course, has been suspended until April the 3rd. It's just quite incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, it's quite surreal that all this has happened in such a short space of time, something that we didn't really expect to happen maybe 8 hours ago, and suddenly the whole of English football's come to quite an abrupt shutdown.
Rich, your thoughts on this one? I know Gary Monk has spoken, hasn't he, earlier on today. He said, listen, it's an unprecedented situation. We're going into the unknown. We can only do what we're guided to do. It's for the greater good. I like the fact he said that. A lot of managers are kind of taking that line, which is what they have to. Health is the most important thing right now. But it is unprecedented. We are going into the unknown. And we can, just like Gary Monk said, we can only do what we're guided to do.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I did have to double check that it applied to Sheffield Wednesday because the announcement was elite football was stopping, and what we've been serving up in recent weeks is very, very different from elite football. But yeah, it does apply to Sheffield Wednesday alongside other clubs. So yeah, it's a very strange situation. I don't think most of us won't have any living memory of anything like this happening before. So we've just got to sort of follow the best advice and hope it doesn't last too long. But they're already saying that sort of April 3rd date is pretty woolly and probably is probably going to kick beyond that as well. So might be that this season has to be written off in some way or another.
Well, this is a thing, isn't it? And I sound like a broken record tonight, but I'm speaking to different fans, of course, so we have to get different opinions from fans. And we've had different opinions, which I'm quite surprised about, to be fair, because some are in favour of the season just stopping, just going, do you know what, we'll draw a line under it now and we'll have to just write it off and go again next season. But what implications will that have on a whole load of teams, of course? We know that in Germany, apparently the DFL and DFB, they're considering ending the Bundesliga after this weekend, and that means no trophies will be awarded, no relegations would take place. The Bundesliga itself would be expanded to 22 teams for next season. I mean, right. it's such a blurry minefield, isn't it, Rich?
It definitely is. And yeah, there's particularly promotion from the Championship is such a rich prize. I can't imagine the Premier League will want to share their TV money with too many extra clubs. So yeah, it's such a mess, and it's a developing situation. So even if we sort of decided something now that seemed to make sense, it might not make sense in 2 or 3 weeks' time or a month's time.
Yeah, that's the difficult thing, isn't it, Ben? It is unprecedented. We don't know what's going to happen. It's a developing story, of course. But where do you stand on things right now? So if the season was to stop April the 3rd, or if they were to say, listen, no chance we're going to get people back on the pitch, no chance we're going to get fans into the grounds by April the 3rd, this could rumble on for another month. And then we hear, do you know what, it's going to rumble on for another month. And before we know it, it's mid-August and we still haven't played these remaining 9 games of the season. Do you turn around and go, do you know what, we're actually in danger of relegation here? We're not in danger of relegation, but obviously pending various points deductions that we still don't know what's going on with. But as things stand, we're not in the relegation zone. Do we go, right, yep, scrap it, we'll start again?
Yeah, I think most people from a Sheffield Wednesday persuasion at the moment would be quite satisfied with writing this season off just as where we are, because at the moment we don't really look like we'll be picking up many points for the rest of the season. And if we did get a points deduction, then that could quite easily see us in the bottom three. I think it would at the moment, and with the form that we've been in since Christmas, only winning two games, I wouldn't be, you know, thinking that we'd be able to get ourselves out of it either.
Well, this is the thing, isn't it, Rich? Because where Sheffield Wednesday are right now, and we had the Brighton fan show before you guys, and they were of a kind of similar mindset that, listen, we haven't won a game in 2020 right now. Of course, we're not going to use terms like blessing in disguise because this is a serious situation right now. But if the season was to end now for Sheffield Wednesday and it was scrapped and consigned to the history books as basically being null and void, it probably would work in Gary Monk's favour.
yes, I mean, we are on that sort of slow slide towards the relegation zone. I mean, I think if the season finished now and the EFL decided to give us a 9 points deduction, we'd finish one from bottom on goal difference, which might be the best outcome for the whole season that we could have possibly imagined, to be honest. But which would be a sort of silver lining to a very bad situation by and large. I don't think we're going to get that lucky, unfortunately. I think the fact that there's not a summer tournament this year does mean that potentially you could stretch the games out and play them later on.
Well, no, there is, though, isn't there, Rich? There is a summer tournament. We've got Euro 2020 to think about.
Of course, yeah. I thought they were talking about moving that as well, weren't they?
Well, I mean, it does seem highly unlikely that a summer tournament now, especially with the way the Euros are scheduled. I mean,
exactly. It seems almost machine-tooled to be bad at spreading a virus, doesn't it? The way the tournament's laid out now.
So, Ben, in terms of games behind closed doors, because this is another issue we've discussed this evening, games behind closed doors. Now, this is throwing up all kinds of conundrums and difference of opinions as well. I'm sure Liverpool fans will go, do you know what? Yeah, behind closed doors, absolutely. Yeah, we'll do it as long as we can just get over the line. Even if it's 2 games behind closed doors, just to guarantee that we will be Premier League champions, that's fine. But when we talk about the greater good, we have to think about finances as well, for lower league clubs, for smaller clubs as well. Premier League clubs can perhaps do with not playing in front of fans because their finances are such that they don't have to rely on that. But lower league clubs absolutely do. Not only that, we've got the fan experience as well. We've got the football experience. It's not right. We saw the games in Europe earlier on this week. It just did not seem right. And yes, they went ahead. And yes, you know, Man United whacked 5 past LASK. And, you know, PSG managed to beat Borussia Dortmund. But it was an odd experience to watch. And as a football fan yourself, surely you're not in favour of that.
No, it's something that I think Chris Wilder probably most you know, saying about that, that he'd rather see games, Guardiola said as well, he'd rather see games postponed rather than behind closed doors, because it doesn't feel like, despite the talent still being on the pitch, it doesn't feel like a proper football game. It doesn't feel like a competitive game when you haven't got 30, 40, 50,000 people stood making noise, chanting in a football stadium. And as you said, we've seen that during the week with all the Champions League, Europa League games being, a lot of them being played behind closed doors. And it's just the atmosphere that you can't recreate, and you can't do without that atmosphere in football. It's nothing without fans.
And we also spoke, Rich, to, we've had some doctors on the show throughout the course of the day here on Love Sport, and the idea that you can not cram 30,000 people into a stadium, but those, you know, a good section of those people spread themselves thinly across a whole load of pubs throughout a city, is no different. It's just the same thing. You're still exactly. Putting people into a confined space. So it makes absolutely no difference.
In fact, it's possibly worse, because outdoors is one thing for sort of sharing the same air and things like that. Sharing a confined space is even more room for things to be shared and spread around. I think that's one of the La Liga statements, saying that the fans are the game, and the idea of playing behind closed doors is sort of unconscionable to them. I think that was a really strong statement. I would have liked to see the Premier League follow suit, because it might work for some Premier League teams, because such a small percentage of their income is from actual fans going through the gates, but it doesn't work for any of the rest of the EFL, who desperately rely on the money that comes from ticket sales, and particularly the further you go down the pyramid, the higher a percentage of their income that tends to be, and sort of looking to give up potentially a fifth of their season and their income for the year is really disastrous for those clubs. And maybe even some in the Championship.
Yeah, no, it certainly is. And Sheffield Wednesday, as things stand, in 15th in the Championship. 9 points clear of those relegation spaces. 9 games to play. We don't know what is going to happen. What we do know is that the Owls aren't on the best run of form at the moment, and that certainly continued last weekend at Griffin Park. A 5-0 defeat to Brentford. We'll talk a bit about that next.
For the fans, by the fans. Love Sport Radio.
It's the Sheffield Wednesday fan show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, joined by Ben Woodcock of Wednesday Week. Rich Miller from A Different Gravy, not just another podcast. Not just another Sheffield Wednesday podcast, I should say. Just a quick reminder that from the 31st of March, Love Sport's national station will be the only way of listening to Love Sport on DAB radio across the UK. If you are listening to us on Love Sport London, you need to retune your radio. It's an easy process. Just press the auto-tune refresh or auto-scan button on your digital radio, or go into the menu and press auto-tune to make sure you do not miss your favourite shows right here on Love Sport.
Love Sport.
OK, gents, we are going to talk a bit of football, because it is a football fan show. And whilst you probably don't want to go too much into detail on last week's performance, we're going to try and dissect it, because what happened? It was Brentford 5, Sheffield Wednesday 0. Brentford came into this one without a win in 5. They'd only bagged 2 wins in 9. Conversely, the Owls just 1 win in 10. They've lost 4 of the last 6 now. Ben, I'll come to you first. Rich, I'll come to you after. Was it just another day at the office as we know it to have been for Sheffield Wednesday last week?
Yeah, since Christmas. Just from the off, of course, Brentford have got the front three of, the BMW that they call themselves, and they are fantastic. Ben Rama was popping up all over the pitch on the left, then on the right, just all over. And the run rings around us from the first minute. And then, of course, when they got the first goal, courtesy of poor defending and perhaps a goalkeeping error, the floodgates just opened, as they have too many times this season.
You mentioned the goalkeeper there again, Rich, as you can assess, it's someone that we speak about quite a lot. Now, I'm not going to say that I called this, right? And I haven't called it, but I did allude to it, didn't I, a few weeks back? And I tell you what, he's kind of not proving me right, but he is still making almost an error a game at the moment.
Yeah, desperately. Oh, sorry,
go on, Rich.
Yeah, it's very poor. I think we're in the unfortunate situation where none of the three goalkeepers at our disposal are entirely reliable. But I think the kind of general consensus was that Joe Wildsmith had done enough, shown enough in that game against Man City to be given a chance to play in the Championship. And I think it was a collective disappointment that it was Dawson again. And as you say, maybe not wholly at fault for the performance, because there was an awful lot of calamitous errors going on. But certainly didn't cover himself in glory, and certainly didn't help us out in a game when, well, we just had nothing going for us, really.
Ben, I think part of the issue as well, not just for Cameron Dawson, but for Sheffield Wednesday's defence, that is conceding three goals now in four of the last five games in the Championship. I mean, that is an incredible statistic, really. The only one, of course, that you didn't concede in was a clean sheet in that last-ditch win against Charlton, but leaking goals at the moment.
Yeah, we've conceded 14 in the last four, which is it's too many to even be, you know, thinking of staying up, never mind aiming for the playoffs that have, of course, gone now all of a sudden since the turn of the year. You can't really put your finger on exactly what it is, except probably Tom Lee, if I'm honest. If you go pick one player out, the defence seems more steady when Morgan Fox has come back in to start with at left back. We missed him massively after 18 months ago. He was probably the one that everybody had been happy to see leave. But it's also, with Tom Lee's coming back in, worked the other way, that we've conceded more goals with quite a few mistakes from him.
Rich, I want to touch on the loan signings as well, because fair to say that they've been pretty underwhelming thus far. Connor Wickham coming in, of course, had done well on previous loan spells. I think 9 goals across his 2 loan spells previously at Sheffield Wednesday. Yeah. He's yet to get on the score sheet, of course. We've seen Josh Windass come in. Did all right. Made a decent start, I suppose, but he struggled to really stamp himself in the side. Alessio Da Cruz is another one. He's kind of shown in fits and starts that he could be a player, but certainly not on a consistent level.
Yeah, I don't think any of them have pulled up any trees since they arrived. Wickham looked a good step off where he was in his previous spell with us, although I know a lot of years have gone by, but he's still a young man, but he seems to have lost a bit of the pace that was so sort of exciting about his game previously. And he just doesn't look match sharp yet. It's happening. There's little moments. But we've got sort of him and Stephen Fletcher both struggling for form at the same time, which doesn't put us in a great position in terms of trying to get forward and get goals. I think Windass has probably been the best out of the three that joined us. But again, it's been inconsistent. He sort of comes on and looks very good in the second half of one game. He gets the start in the next game and has a very anonymous performance. And Da Cruz, I just don't know what he's good at yet. He's quick. He seems to be fairly fit. Beyond that, I honestly couldn't say very much about him as a footballer. I don't know whether he's good at passing or crossing or shooting. He seems a reasonable athlete.
What you said about that.
Yeah, would you agree with that, Ben?
Yeah, the crew's he looks like he's got a bit of flair about him, a bit of, you know, Forestieri like, but he isn't showing it. And as Richard says, you can't really put your finger on what he's actually good at the moment, which is a bit worrying.
No.
Yeah, certainly is, and that's part of the worry of course, those incomings that haven't really made any impact whatsoever. A bit of bright news, I suppose, gents, is that the average attendances are in, so that's all good. Sheffield Wednesday fifth in that table, so, you know, every cloud.
Oh, there we go.
As you'd expect at Hillsborough, of course. And to be fair, we were speaking to the guys from the Brentford fan show on Monday evening, and I expected them to lambast Sheffield Wednesday. And maybe to your surprise, they'd said, you know what, they weren't that bad. I know that towards the end of the
I'm not sure.
Well, that's,
I'm not sure.
That's what I thought. I thought exactly the same thing. And they were saying, listen, towards the end of the game, some Brentford fans were taking the mickey a bit, saying you're not fit to wear the shirt, because they do recognise that, listen, Sheffield Wednesday are a massive club. They also suggested there was rumours, Rich, that some Sheffield Wednesday fans were in the boozers before the second half had even started. Do you know if that's true?
It wouldn't surprise me. I wouldn't hold it against
100% true.
Really?
100% true. Yeah. I missed the third goal. I come back and there were three or four mates that had already gone by the time I come back. And they weren't the only ones. A lot had gone.
Ben, that's incredible to think that fans had left at half time. And listen, I know you travelled a long way. You paid a lot of money, but I mean, 45 more minutes, but no, off at half-time, we've had enough.
Honestly, I managed to drag the remainder of us out once the fourth goal had gone in. And we did well to stay that long. It's not just this game in isolation. It's the run that we've been on and really how bad we've been. And there's a lot of... It's more about the club as well. There's a lot of people that are disillusioned with what's going on, and that's only adding to it, really.
Crazy. Just it's incredible to think that happened. I just imagine the first guy walking into the pub and suddenly being greeted with a whole load of Sheffield. Well, oh, okay, you've all done the same thing, lads. Let's go and have a laugh. Rich, just very quickly on players' contracts. It's another thing we've been discussing this evening. We're in a bit of a sticky situation at the moment, aren't we? Because, you know, players' contracts are technically up on June the 30th. If the league is extended, what on earth is going to happen after that? Because I'm sure that agents are going to very quickly get involved in this situation, because they want what's best for their players. They also want a pretty penny in their pocket as well. And if, you know, the contract is up as per the written contract, and we don't know the small print, we don't know the finer details of these contracts, but it's going to cause a problem, isn't it?
It could well do. We're in a position where, depending on, whether you're a pessimist or an optimist, we've got a summer to look forward to where there's potentially quite a lot of turnover at Hillsborough. I think we've got 12 players out of contract or leaving at the end of loan deals or the end of their sort of permanent deals. So if that happened during the middle of games, that would really be something to cope with. That would I'd stretch any manager, I would imagine, suddenly having 12 of his squad disappear.
Would be quite incredible, wouldn't it, Ben?
Yeah, you got to say we're probably not going to be the only ones that are in that situation, but we'd probably only have a bare 11 left if that happened, I think.
Unbelievable. Well, Rich, I know that we've spoken a lot on this show, but we're kind of in a situation now where we don't have games at the weekend, so we can reflect a little bit, I suppose, on the season and what might come over the course of the next couple of weeks or so. But you're a big Sheffield Wednesday fan. Sheffield Wednesday, a massive club. Of course, I grew up in the 80s and 90s, so I knew them to be a big club at the time. Yeah. And, you know, we're part of the foundation of the Premier League. Where are you at right now as a Sheffield Wednesday fan? And in terms of low points throughout your time of being a Wednesday fan, where does this rank?
It's pretty near the bottom. It's a combination of the kind of day-to-day, week-to-week stuff being as bad as it's been in many, many years. You know, we're just in terrible form and have been for months. But then beyond that, you're looking at the ownership of the club, the fact we've got this potential points deduction hanging over us. And you look at Birmingham City and actually getting the slap on the wrist of a points deduction doesn't necessarily mean you're out of the deep waters. You're still in them, and they're on the cusp of having another points deduction. So we could easily be in a similar type of mire for years to come. I don't trust the manager particularly to be the guy that's sort of leading us through this either. So there's very few bits of the club that are giving me warm and fuzzy feelings as a fan at this point in time. It's in fact all the opposite. It's a tough spot to be a Sheffield Wednesday fan in, definitely.
What about you, Ben?
Yeah, I mean, I'm only 19, so I've physically never actually seen us in the Premier League. We got relegated in, I think, May 2000. I was born in September, so I've grown up really knowing the way that we sort of know now, the high points of the playoff years. I know we were low, of course, around 2010 when Mandrick picked us up off the floor. But even the Mandrick years when we didn't spend a lot, but I always felt we were happier than what we are now. Even if we weren't playing as good football, even if we weren't getting the results, I feel as though there's more frustration and anger around the club now, and it is quite toxic at the moment. And I feel that more so now than what I've ever known before. And that's, it's probably because, I'm a season ticket holder, so I'm not paying, the ticket prices every week, but ticket prices are sky high. When the chairman's come out and said you're paying to see top level championship football, and yeah, we were 3 or 4 years ago, but we're not anymore, and that's only causing more frustration.
Yeah, very difficult times to be a Sheffield Wednesday fan. Perhaps things might upturn, gents, after April the 3rd. Who knows? Ben, what you got planned for the weekend, mate? Anything special?
Well, I play on Saturdays anyway. So at the moment, as far as we're aware, it's a bit of an odd one, but my game is still going ahead tomorrow.
Oh, so, there we go.
So that might change, but everybody seems to be looking for a fixture, so that's county senior level, but we might be getting 3,000 there with a number of people wanting to watch a football game.
Yeah, there you go. Might be playing in front of the biggest crowd you've ever played in front of. Rich, no doubt you've got a lovely weekend planned. Nice meal out.
I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. I'm going to have to develop a personality, take up a hobby. This is I just don't know whether they thought about me, the EFL, when they were making this decision.
The damn EFL. What on earth were they thinking? Ben, Rich, thank you very much for joining us. That is from the Wednesday Week and a Different Gravy, not just another Sheffield Wednesday podcast. It has been the Sheffield Wednesday Fan Show. We'll be back next week, 10 p.m. We'll see you then.
For downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.